When was the last time that you made a decision and felt completely at peace with it? For most people, that feeling is rare. And according to today's guest, that disconnect is not a personality flaw. It's a nervous system problem, and it's fixable. Now, my guest today has spent years helping reconnect with something most people have quietly trained to ignore. It's our own inner wisdom. Now, Jennifer Urizio is the founder of Soul Language, an intuitive strategist and author of multiple books on connecting to your soul's deepest truth. Her work sits at the intersection of spirituality, the nervous system healing, and practical self-trust, and she has helped thousands of people stop outsourcing their inner knowing and start living from a place of genuine alignment. Jennifer, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. I am so excited. You are an amazing woman.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here, and I'm so happy, and I'm excited.
Now, let's start with the problem, because I think every single person listening is going to realize and recognize themselves in this. At some point, most of us stop trusting in our own instincts. Like, where does that disconnection come from?
I think we stop trusting ourselves because we think we trust on ourselves and we miss the red flags. Mm-hmm. And so then we're like, oh my God, I trusted myself and it all went to hell. And so I can't possibly trust myself, right? My picker was off, or, you know, how did I let myself fall into that?
Right.
And sometimes, you know, what we're trusting is actually not the energy of the person. What we're trusting is an energy we recognize, that we fall into, right? So that, you know, pattern, or it feels like dad, it feels like mom. And we've yet to realize that that energy wasn't so trusting. And so we're like, we feel comfortable and at home. So we think that's trust, right?
Right.
There's a number of times where I have a story. It's from high school, but it's a good one. I met this guy and immediately I disliked him.
Right.
And he was like chasing my best friend. So he started to grow on me. 2 years goes by and bam, totally like betrayed me. And I was like, see, my gut was right. But great. But we override it for some reason. We either want to be liked, or we don't want to be like judgmental, or, oh my God, why can't I be a nicer person? Eye roll. And so that, I think, is why we don't trust people. It's we're not really taught to listen to our gut. We're not taught to, okay, I feel this way, I'm going to acknowledge it. And when we get a feeling, or when we get a knowing and it goes against the norm, then we have to explain to everyone, like, why are you not getting on the plane, Jen?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be fun. Well, I don't know why I'm not getting on the plane, but I feel like I shouldn't. Like, I really feel like I shouldn't.
Right.
And then we don't trust that because we have all these outside voices telling us not to trust ourselves.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, they have like what they call the three brains, and the compounds of our gut, our heart, and our brain are made of the same matters and the same components. And, you know, people don't realize, but it's really all three. It's not, you know, just not one or the other. It's a combination.
Yeah. And when people go, well, I know it in my brain, I don't know it in my heart, I was like, no. That's opposite. You know it in your heart, and you got to get your brain or your mind on board.
Exactly.
And I always ask them to use their body, which I call divine intelligence, to align their mind to follow the heart, right? You know, your heart. And here's the thing, because people think they've been following their heart and then there's heartbreak, they think that's non-trustworthy.
Yeah.
But if they were to pause, if they were to feel deeper, listen deeper, they would have gotten the, right?
Yeah.
And then you would have been like, okay, but we don't do that enough.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of where the disconnect comes in.
Right. I agree. Now, is it something that happens to us, or is it something that we do to ourselves?
I mean, universe is happening through us, and we have this free will choice.
Yeah.
That being said, there are, you know, up until the age of like 5, you're kind of a sponge and you're not really in charge of your own life.
No.
And a lot of things happen to us that form patterns where we make choices on.
Right.
You know, I think it's the chicken and the egg here, but yeah. There comes a certain point where you have to say, I keep experiencing this. It's not what I want. What are the patterns? What are the choices that I'm making that are resulting in this experience? Wow. 15 years ago, I lived in this apartment, in this house. The floors were, it was really old. The floors were really like thin. And the downstairs neighbor would have the same conversation. She had it with her boyfriend, and then she had it with her mother, and then guess it was her best friend. It was like, you don't listen to me and you don't hear me. And I wanted to go down and go, do you not see too? Like, right? These yeah. are all relationships where you feel not seen or not heard,
yeah.
right? Why are you putting yourself in those relationships? What can you be or do differently
right.
to get different reactions? And are you supposed to be in those relationships, right? Like,
right.
if your boyfriend's not giving you the opportunity to feel seen and heard, why are you choosing him?
Right, exactly. Right?
And that's an internal problem. Or why don't you trust yourself to go no or set boundaries?
Exactly.
The thing I tell clients is activate trust inside of you. Mm-hmm. And then make decisions based on that.
Yes, I agree. Now, what does it actually feel like in the body when someone is living out of alignment in their own inner knowing?
I think it feels icky. I mean, I think it feels like there's a stone on your chest, your stomach hurts, you can't breathe. You know, if you don't listen to yourself long enough, there's going to be distress and disharmony, which results in disease.
Right.
I think most people, you could be numb. Right? You could be self-medicating, whether it's, you know, some sort of addiction. And listen, that we have a lot of sneaky addictions.
Yeah.
There's an addiction to healing. Like, let me just heal myself and then I can be blah, blah, blah. No, you're whole and complete now, right?
Yeah.
Let's tweak your energy so you're operating and utilizing that energy whole and complete. So I think people really do know when they're out of alignment or it doesn't feel good, but they mistake that as the norm because, you know, I think, listen, I have warrior energy. So I'm never going to be like love, light, and rainbows. Like, I'm not going to be care bearish.
Right? Yeah.
But I know what joy feels like in my body. And I think most people are afraid to feel joy.
Yeah.
And or they just try to feel one thing.
Yes.
And so they won't. Like, look at those kind of lower vibrations about what information those lower vibrations are providing them.
Yes.
Right? Emotions are like a song. If you only have low notes in a song, it's going to suck. If you only have high notes in a song, it's going to suck. You
yes.
need the whole kind of range of emotion to actually create, enjoy, experience this human experience. And
yeah.
since you're here, you might as well make the best of it as most of you can.
I agree. And you talk about healing the nervous system through self-trust. And I want to unpack that because it's not connection most people make. You know, how are the nervous system and self-trust actually connected?
If you are in fear and flight, fawning, you know, all the time, and all of us spend a lot of time there, because
yeah.
we have made everything feel like being chased by a bear. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you continuously fill your body with trust, and we can do it in a second, right?
Mm-hmm.
and make decisions based on that, which is really based on safety,
yeah.
knowing that you're safe, you're not going into fear or flight or thinking you're being chased by a bear when you get the phone bell.
Right.
And so then the nervous system most of the time is in this safety, in this relaxed state versus on heightened awareness all the time.
Right.
Well, so do you want to feel it? Trust in your body.
Yeah. You have to trust in your body. You know.
You want to feel it right now.
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely.
So you're going to close your eyes and you're going to get on my boots. Okay. So I'm going to use the word divine intelligence. That's just another word for your body.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have free will. It will put us exactly where we want to go, how we want to go if you let it. So here goes, Stacey. Divine intelligence, fill my body with the feeling and knowing of divine trust and safety. How'd that feel?
I felt a special sensation up my arms and a pressure towards my upper legs. And I felt like a sense of heaviness, like something wanted to release from me.
Okay. So we're going to do it one more time. And we're going to drop the word willingness in, because sometimes, you know, we've built all these little protections around us,
mm-hmm.
you know, us in the illusion of safety and trust.
Right.
Right. There's a part of us that goes, oh, if we break that protection, we're going to be screwed.
Okay. Yeah.
So take a deep breath. And now you're going to repeat after me. Divine intelligence.
Divine intelligence.
I have a willingness.
I have a willingness.
To know that I can trust.
To know that I can trust.
And feel safe.
And feel safe.
In my body.
In my body.
And tell me what you notice.
I noticed a sensation in my hands, like something was releasing. And then I noticed some type of feeling in my neck that I didn't have previously.
So if you start doing that every day, those protections that you have set up that have been preventing you from really feeling safe and trusting,
mm-hmm.
or listening, will release and your true power will show up in a bigger way.
Could it be the chakras too? When your throat represents communication?
Well, you control those. Like, they just don't like go off by themselves, right?
Right.
So then you could ask yourself, is there something I need to say to myself or to someone else
mm-hmm.
that's preventing me from stepping into trust or stepping into safety, right? You could also activate divine intelligence, fill me with the feeling knowing that I'm safe to utilize my divine voice.
I like that.
Right?
That, yeah.
Right? And so, I mean, it's a delicate balance. Right? In order to get that energy into alignment kind of the first time.
Yeah.
And then it's just sliding back, sliding back, sliding back.
I notice when I practice, when I'm by myself and I set the room up for it, I feel that lighter, you know, when I finish. I feel a different focus in my mind. I feel more clarity and I feel more connection to the spiritual world when I do it on a frequent basis. My problem is I don't consistently do it the way as much as I know I'm supposed to do it. But if I stay consistent, it makes me feel completely different. And then, you know, I still feel connected. I still feel those feelings. I still feel the, you know, I still feel it, but it's stronger when you consistently practice it, I feel.
Right. You're building up. It's like sedimentary rock, right?
Yeah.
So you're building layers upon layers. Now, here's the thing. I think most people think that they need to sit on the mountain and go and spend hours, right? Sacred practice has to be designed to fit into your everyday life.
Right.
And so there's several parts of sacred practice, right?
Yeah.
And so when you come up with dogs, when you come up with an integrated practice, it's easier to blend into your life versus, so you might want to try like a walking meditation. Like if you go walk, if you have dogs, you go walk the dogs, right? You take a deep breath, you put intention, and then you walk and you see what happens. Right.
Love that.
Or you can just keep coming back to the present moment. Most people don't spend a lot of time in the present moment.
Right.
Right. And so when you come back into the present moment, that allows you to shift your energy.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I find a very good sensation when I'm by the water for some reason. When I'm by the water, I feel this sense of serenity that I don't feel anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, the water is all about flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're like 95% water.
Yeah.
Right? And so it allows us to just go. And so you also then might set an intention and go in the shower and mm-hmm. see what happens, right?
Right.
For that release.
And I notice when I'm in the shower, I do feel a release when I'm in the shower and I just breathe and relax and I feel the water rushing down. I do feel like this sense of being taken away and just relax and just feeling very serene in my inner self.
Beautiful. So if I was in charge of you, I would say, okay, so do you have a water feature on your desk, right? Like bring those elements into your everyday life.
That's
so
a good
you can
idea.
Pause and go, oh, or you could just focus on the flow of water inside of you.
That's a great idea.
And see how right? That brings relief.
I love that. That's a great idea. I think I'm going to order something when I get off with you. Now, what happens in the body physically when we are consistently overriding our intuition?
Our body gets pissed. I mean, to be perfectly blunt.
Yeah.
Stuck energy will store in places. So you could, you know, when people are talking to me sometimes, I'll go, do you have trouble speaking your truth? They'll be like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, because I feel like I have a hairball right here. They're like, I'm always clearing my throat, right? So it will get lodged in places. You know, if you're experiencing a lot of grief and you don't let that go, that will show up in your lungs. You'll get chest colds. You'll, you know, get respiratory stuff.
Yeah.
Anger shows up in the liver, right? You could get fatty liver. It will lodge in your body. And eventually it will find its way out. Hell or high water.
Right.
So eventually your body's going to keep giving you those signals that goes, hey, what the heck? And it will also show up in your external world, in your relationships or in your money, right? Or in your career. It has to go somewhere.
Right.
Right. And so the pattern will keep repeating and keep getting louder until it's dealt with or until you decide, I'm done with the planet.
Yeah, I hear you. I like that idea. Now, can chronic self-doubt actually create like physical symptoms?
Yeah, I mean, Louise Hay has a beautiful body of work about how every belief results in some sort of physical manifestation. So my Louise Hay book is all the way over there. But I would say chronic self-doubt would end up in your throat because you're never speaking your truth. You're always swallowing your words. It will wind up in your heart because you're probably over giving and not receiving. And I would say it would probably end up in the digestive system because you're not nurturing yourself, right? You're bending yourself like a pretzel. Everyone more is more important than you. And so those are all places it's going to show up.
Right.
I call it putting yourself on the D list, doubting yourself, discounting, devaluing. So it will show up in, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, it will show up in your prices. Oh, maybe it's 100 or maybe it's 125 or I couldn't possibly charge for that, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's very sneaky. The other day I was a client wanted to take a course and then we offered a soul language ID and I was like, well, she's buying the soul language ID. Maybe I shouldn't charge her the full price. And my whole entire team, my soul team went, no, the ID's already as an incentive. What do you do? Like, and it was like, that's sneaky, right?
Yeah.
Because it really wasn't about the money. It was about the discounting, the devaluing.
Yes.
And so don't try to do it all at once, everyone. Pick an area, pick a practice, and allow the data to show how you're making headway versus trying to get well done. And, you know, you're not broken. It's just how you're using your energy.
Right. Now let's talk about your work in plain language for someone who has never heard of soul language. What does it mean to connect to your soul and how is that different from mindfulness or therapy or other approaches people already might be familiar with?
Okay. I love this question. So mindfulness is using the little end of mind, not the big end, the little end of mind to self-correct patterns that you do not
want.
Because our mind is geared towards only understanding what it understands. And it's like, I heard this wonderful, and I'm going to Bree Seeley quote her, this whole thing the other day that she said, it's like a library and it only has certain cards. And if you haven't read that book, the mind doesn't know it yet, right?
Right.
Mindfulness is trying to give the mind some books it hasn't read yet. While we work with the soul can override the mind, right? Because it's bigger. Lame terms, right? Layman terms.
Yeah.
What I do is different than Enneagram or Human Design or any of that, because it is a framework that puts words to what you already know deep down inside. So you can create a connection with this powerful source called your soul to create from consciousness, which means creating from wholeness and completeness.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, I just had this image. It's like Fantasy Island, but in the best possible way. Because you know in the Fantasy Island, how the fantasies always kind of go wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. But it's like having Mr. Work inside of you that says, I know your mind says to go left. That's not really what is the direction we should go. We should go left. And what your school teacher said in eighth grade was based on his own pain and programming. And you're whole and complete, even if you don't know how to spell eight because you were freaking out, right? So we're going to release that. We're going to reprogram that, restructure the DNA. So your first response is, I'm whole and complete, rather than, oh my God, I'm not enough.
Yeah.
So by talking to your soul, it's like talking to the best possible friend, the perfect harbor of safety.
Right.
So you can go from one side of the street to the other. Yes. The other side of the street is what you truly want to experience.
Right.
So what I do is I put words to it because humans love words. So I'll give you an example. So there's three core energies of soul, right? The three categories are your mission or your purpose. Everyone wants to know why they're here, right? How you feel that mission or purpose, or what's that going to look like? And then the third category is about your soulful personality, your preferences.
Yeah.
So my language in that category is called graceful warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my life, Stacey, not so graceful. At war with everything. In corporate America, I'd be like, can you pass the pen? They'd be like, why are you so aggressive? I'm like, I asked for a pen. But I was really at war with myself internally 24/7.
Yeah.
When I realized I didn't have to fight for what I wanted, right? I was at a coffee and this person sat down next to me and we started talking. And I was like, well, I have warrior energy. And he went, that's really cool. And I went, hide it outside or aligning, right?
Now
pay me for my courage. They pay me so they can be in an energy where they feel safe, supported, and they can harness that to activate their own courage to go and do things. Right?
Right.
If I didn't have the words for that, I don't know if I would have ever accepted that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I always thought it was wrong because everyone told me it was wrong.
Right.
I was just using it inappropriately.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Thanks. I know it. It's people say things to us and we start to believe it, you know, and a lot of times what people, that's their own perception. That's what they perceive. It's not who we perceive ourselves to be. It's not who we are. It's, you know, and their perception could be just from the environment they grew up, what they were told, how they were raised and so forth, you know? So it's like, you know, I always think, you know, never listen to others, you know, listen to yourself, you know, that's the main person that's going to give you the best advice. Now, what does that connection feel like when someone first experiences it?
Well, pain is boring. Connection's unique, right? Like we're all, you can tell a story and I can tell a story and the details are different around our pain, but it's kind of all the same thing, right? Abandonment, not enough, not misunderstood, blah, 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 right? But connection is extremely unique. So for me, when I feel connected, sorry, the dog is like squeak, squeak as well. But when I feel connected, it feels like being on the highway from LA to Santa Barbara.
Right.
On a sunny day with the top down in a convertible, total freedom.
I love it.
It feels totally free. And for other people, it feels like deeply loved, deeply held. Right. It's so personal, that connection.
Yeah.
But anyone can get there.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a structure about how to connect. So it could be easier for people. Time and time again, it feels good.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel icky, doesn't feel sticky, doesn't feel limiting. And I think most people are afraid to connect because they are afraid that they're going to hear, you know what, Stacey? It is true. You do suck. And you're never going to hear that, right? Like, you were right. You suck, right? But you're never going to hear that. And I think we put so much pressure on ourselves about that connection. And because there's so much metaphysical mumbo jumbo, right? We want that connection to look like like my connection or your connection there. Or so when certain people are connected and it doesn't look like mine, they think they're not connected, but it's personal. And having the framework of soul language allows it to be personal, but it gives you a roadmap to make that connection. So it's easier for you to experience your own connection with ease.
I love that. Now, for the listeners out there, if you have ever felt like you were listening to someone else's life, making decisions from fear instead of trust, or something important inside you has gone quiet, this conversation is exactly for you. Follow this podcast right now. Every week, we bring you conversations that help you understand what is really happening beneath the surface of how you feel. Now, I want to get practical. Let's get practical, because I know, you know, our audience wants to hear something that they can use today. So for someone who has been ignoring their inner voice for years, where do they even start?
I would start with two questions. At the beginning of the other day, just take a deep breath. Imagine that you're sitting knee to knee, eye to eye with your soul, spirit, God, universe, tree, Bob, cake, I don't care what you call it. And just go, what do I need to know today? Make some notes. And at the end of the day, come back and just keep a little record. So you could go, oh, I was told umbrella and it rained. It wasn't supposed to rain, right? Just so you understand how you're getting your information. And then the second thing is, ask your soul this question. If I knew I was enough, what would I be, say, do, and express today? Because that's going to allow you to make different choices based on truth versus fear.
Right. I love that. That is great advice. You're welcome. What is one small thing someone can do this week to begin rebuilding that trust within themselves?
Feel the trust in the body that we did earlier. And then just ask their body what their body wants to share with them, right? Look or understand the red flags.
Yeah.
Understand what feels off to you. Now, if you are not connected to your body, like if you're noticing like, hey, I'm not connected to my body, then start connecting to your body. And what I tell everyone is go to Whole Foods. I think they still do this, but go to a place or Wegmans where they let you sample olive oil. And sit there, be very intentional, dip the bread in the olive oil, put it in your mouth, and really be present with the sensations in your body. The reason why I say olive oil, because the range is so different. Yeah. And you're like, the grassy one, you're going to be like, whoa. So you can start to kind of balance and have a new connection with your body.
Yeah.
So those are kind of three things to go do. That's what I recommend.
I like that idea. That's very unique. I like that. Now, how do you know the difference between like genuine intuition and, you know, fear kind of dressed up as intuition?
Okay. I get this question a lot and it's all your soul talking to you, right? It's through different levels. Okay. So your fear is going to be like, you're going to feel it in your body. Right. Sometimes you're breaking into a sweat. Sometimes you're like panicky, right?
Yeah.
Mission is going to be like, boom, statement, mic drop. Now it could be small or soft or loud, right? But it's not going to be like, la, 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 la. So here's the example. Mission says, and don't get on the plane. Fear goes, oh my God, Jen, you're not going to get on the plane. What's going to happen now? Are you going to call Susan? Tell her you're not on the plane. What is Susan going to say? And oh my God, what are you going to do? How are you going to get to North Carolina if you don't go on the plane? See the difference?
Right? Big difference. Yeah.
Right. And so once you start to seek, you know, I give fear and doubt, because those are my big things, visuals.
Yeah.
So fear and doubt to me look like Laurel and Hardy, right? From old school, everyone. But and then I interviewed Laurel and Hardy. It was like the Dick Cavett Show. Again, old school. I don't know why my references are like 1950s, but they are. And so there's Dick Cavett, who was a talk show host, and interviews Laurel and Hardy. And Laurel is fear and Hardy's doubt. And Dick goes, Laurel, do you think he might leave Jennifer alone? And fear goes, I doubt it. And then he turns to doubt and goes, do you think he might leave Jennifer alone? And doubt goes, no, I fear it. And how can you take those two seriously? Like, give your fear a kind of character. So you can look at it and go, oh, we're not going to hate this. We're not going to create war here. Right. We're going to practice love submission. We're going to love it until fear and doubt goes to jelly. And then we're going to make a decision from there. And this is not if you're being chased by a bear. Okay. Right. Truly need fear. It has a place.
Yeah.
Right. But when we make everything chased by a bear, we're naturally just on this treadmill and we can't hear ourselves,
yeah,
our soul because of the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yep. So true. So true. Now you've worked with thousands of people. What is the most dramatic shift that you've seen someone that they finally stopped the second guessing themselves and started trusting what they knew?
Yeah. I think the most dramatic shift has been someone who would, such a talented healer, and would give her services away for free. And here she is, so talented and almost starving because she isn't willing to receive.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time she's like, I charged for a client. And I was like, oh my God, that's great. She's like, would you like to know how much? And I was like, yeah. And I was thinking, okay. So she went from zero. And it's going to be like, you know, maybe it's $25. She's like, I charged $250. And I was like, right, that's a huge jump. You know, I remember someone saying, I have been in therapy for 15 years. We resolved what I've been talking about in therapy for 15 years in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's a huge jump. It's not talking, it's energetics and working with your system to rearrange your replicating DNA. So the story is not continually repeating in your body and in your consciousness.
Yeah.
So those are some tangible examples.
I love that. Now, what becomes possible in someone's life, like their health, their relationships, their work, when they are operating from genuine self-trust?
Becomes a life of unlimited possibilities and ease. I mean, listen, yeah, you're going to have more money and more fun and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I know we all want our stuff, but at the end of the day, do you really want your stuff or do you just want to be, I can breathe, yeah, I feel peaceful.
Right.
Feel connected. I feel loved, because that's really what we want. And all the other stuff is that icing on the cake.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you know, more and more lately for me personally, at the end of the day, I'm like, wow, I feel good.
Yeah.
I feel good. Like, I'm not going over all the little icky things that might have happened today.
Yeah.
I'm not like, oh my God, you know, what about this and what should I do and blah, blah. Right. At the end of the day. And I think that is, you know, to paraphrase the Visa commercial, that's priceless.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't we want more of that? Because the external stuff is stuff and it's fleeting and, you know, it gets used up.
Yeah.
And it's never going to make us feel whole and complete.
Right. That's so true. Now, if someone is listening right now and they're genuinely, they can't remember the last time they trusted themselves, what is the one thing you want them to hear?
That trust is a practice, that it's a consciousness, that when you are in trust, you are in the consciousness of neutrality and doors open.
Yeah.
And for today, just have a willingness to start to trust yourself and don't try to keep putting yourself trusting people of the same energetics, right? If you have an untrustworthy person in life, like in a relationship, don't go to that person to like practice trust.
Right. Right?
Because I think we continually put ourselves in pattern situations, trying to act different,
mm-hmm,
and the patterns, like the energetic pattern takes over.
Right.
So baby step it, Bob, baby steps.
Yeah. So true. I love that. So, you know, tell us a little about your services, and you've written books you mentioned. So tell us a little about those also.
So everyone starts, I do a discovery session where people can have one of their languages identified as my gift. And then they move into a soul language ID session where we ID all the other two languages. We do business IDs. We do, I have a group program called the Soul Fire Circle Program, which are master classes. I love to look at a person and go, here's what you need, and create a custom program. And then I have the Vault, which is over 100 tools of content for soul and marketing and empaths and coaches. And that's a monthly membership.
Love that. Oh, that's awesome. And what about your books? Tell me a little about your books.
So I have two. I have the big textbook, and it's not on digital because it's 500 pages. And that's the Soul Language book, Consciously Connecting with Your Soul for Success. And then I have the opposite spectrum, which is like, I think, a 30-page book. Mm-hmm. And that is about a little book of prayers. And I'm a master prayer writer. So it's about affirmative prayers that people use to change their life.
Love
That's
that.
My favorite. So those are two books. And then I have this great quiz that talks about where your energy gaps are in your business. And that's under soullanguage.us/quiz. Yeah. Oh, and then I have a podcast.
I love that. What's your podcast name?
Ask and Answered by Soul.
I love it. I love it. And where can they find your podcast? Pretty much everywhere. Spotify, everywhere.
Apple, Spotify. Yeah, it's everywhere.
I love it. And your books, can they find those? Well, like Amazon is probably one of the easiest places.
Amazon, both of them are there. And I think I've done stories for other books. So those books are on there too.
I love it. And your main website that you tell everyone to go to is?
Soul Language.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, for the listeners out there, you already know more than you think you do. The problem is not that your inner wisdom is missing. The problem is that somewhere along the line, you were taught not to listen to it. And Jennifer, you have dedicated your entire career to helping people find their way back to that voice. And today, you know, you reminded us that self-trust is not soft. It is one of the most powerful health tools that we have. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show. You're just a wonderful individual. And I can't express how important it is for every individual to connect with themselves, to have that inner trust, to have that ability to connect with their intuition. Because, you know, without that, you're kind of lost. Yes. And you're relying on others who are not you, guide you from their own experiences in life, and their experiences might not be the right experiences, and their advice might not be the right advice. So you're kind of, you're just like in a maze, and you just don't, you know. Unless you connect with your inner self, you connect with your intuition, and you really start to listen to yourself, you know, that's when the magic will happen. So I'm so glad there's someone like you who teaches people, you know, and I really enjoyed our conversation. I hope you'll be back in the future. And I love it. I think you're an amazing individual, and it was such a pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you. Right back at you. And, you know, I have two dogs. I have Sheila and I have Heart. And Sheila came to us about over a year ago. She's like 5 or 6. But Heart will come underneath the table and like rub my leg and want to be pet. Sheila never. Sheila just came up and I was like, so that's really, I think she's the love bug. So yeah. I think that's an indication about how groovy this connection has been in our conversation. So I want to thank you because that's amazing.
Thank you. That is an amazing story. I think she feels our energy and she just wants to be a part of it. I love it. I love it. Well, you have a great day, Jen. And
thank
I hope you.
You
too. Well, bye.